is action. You can't talk about evangelism without talking about action. I mean, I know several people have a mental game, Joey. Isn't that bad if you had to take those socks and shoes off? You can be kind of displaying your feet first. You know, you're not good for that. You think about having beautiful feet? Your feet beautiful? And I don't think about having beautiful feet in my wife. She thinks her feet are beautiful. You better boy, you don't lie. Most beautiful feet I've ever seen before in my life. If you're teaching and preaching the gospel of peace, then your feet are beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of those? What are you talking about? Physical feet? We're talking about the feet of spiritual feet. We haven't forgotten about the Boston bombing, have we? It's terrible. Do you know what the police did after the bombing? And when they were looking for those people, what did the police do? Did they not go house to house? Why did they go house to house? Because that was the most effective way to find a wayward member of society. That's why they were house to house. We need to be going to the church. We need to be going house to house. Now, Malachi talks about being prudent and having faith. Is any of us come by means? The power of house to house? Acts 20, verse number 20. You see, they needed was an effective way to carry the gospel. I mean, I know preachers are busy. I know you're taught in 100 different directions. I know you're not in my heart and my mouth. I know you're not in the hand and never consuming the gift. And I ask everybody, in fact, you just can never get caught up. I know that. That's a horrible feeling. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you put this on the flowers? Not doors. If you had put the iPhone and shroud, wow, you go to the search and put not doors. What do you think came up on the flower? But they sat down and sat for it. In the preacher's schedule, let me ask you a question. If it doesn't get penciled in on the calendar, does it get done? My first year of marriage, it was after my last teacher said, it was after the summer was over, but I realized that I had completely overbooked my summer, zero time for vacation. First year of marriage. She's off in the summer. You know what I mean? If vacation's not on the calendar, then vacation does not get taken. That's what I got on the calendar. Vacation, I love my wife. I got vacation now. So if it's not on our calendar, it doesn't get done. But we got to get back to FaceTime. I'm not talking about iPod FaceTime. I mean FaceTime, getting the gospel before the people. Caring about people. Loving people. Being interested in people. I think we need to be careful about replacing something that works with what sounds good. Knocking doors works. Going from house to house works. Caring about people works. Taking an interest in people works. Let me give you a couple of words that are fantastic to use. Can you tell me more about that? When you're talking to people, I'm going to get to know people and ask them, can you tell me more about that? I've been married for 5 years. I've got 7 kids. Can you tell me more about that? I'm interested to know. Another phrase, well, has it been easy for you, has it? You said we care about it. I've been up and talk to me because I care. Christ made the last Peter's feet and Peter said, no, sir. Christ said, if not, then you're not a man. Peter said, I'm lost my mouth. I want to be used from time to time. I think sometimes what was here, with the knowledge, the intellect, the study, and what was here with service, but we're not always us here, with our feet, carrying the gospel of peace to those that are lost. The fishermen have beautiful feet. Follow me, I'll make you a man. Matthew 4:19, that's what we're called to be fishermen. Paul Harvey said, we've gone from being fishers of men to keepers of their prayer. One of my friends had it. He said, we're not doing a very good job of that either. But the waters are all murky and the fish don't have to have much longer to live. We're not doing a good job of holding on to the ones that we have, much less bringing new ones in. And I went to Pritchard's Square, I like to go fishing in Red Maples. And what a great time, one great view, right? Sundays are
Let's call this message Battling the Army Back to the Land. That's part of the Great Commission. Jesus kind of taught us a lot of things to do. But the one thing that he taught us was go into all houses, go into all homes, go into all the golf courses and all the gyms, or buy a busy sign and then sit down on the couch. Go into all the homes, buy out, don't come in, just don't have it. And the rest of them have to come up. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And when you go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, the Lord will surprise when you run the waiters. Don't be surprised when you come down. Don't be surprised when people become Christians. Now, isn't that what's supposed to happen? You talk about evangelism, I don't have to pray. God had to pray. Somebody prayed, somebody waited, and God gives in because that's the plan. You get something started, somebody else comes around and notices it, and God will get the increase. The way through the Bible, I think these apostles were just as comprehensive as they are. Instead of standing, knocking on doors. It's kind of talking to people. One of the most frightening things about being a preacher for me is the questions that can be asked. People can ask some questions. You know, people asked Jesus questions. He was very careful in his answering those questions. But they did. They became comfortable with it. And the church grew as a result of it. You see, they got busy fishing. Hey, isn't that complicated? We don't need philosophers and theologians to tell us what the word go means. We don't need to look at it in the Greek. It doesn't matter how good that cook it is if you don't go enough and catch fish. That's the bottom line. They bought it wrong. People are hurting. People have problems. People don't have the answers. John 10:23, this isn't new to us. By depending on us to carry them this life-saving, soul-saving message. People have complicated lives. We've got to be willing to help them work through it. But we've got to be willing to go out and knock on the $1,000 to find the one that must become a Christian. Now, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to go out and knock on the $1,000 to find the one that's the most important thing with the one important in Luke chapter 15? What is important? We don't have the solution to our problems. It takes effort. It takes time. A lot of it. It takes compassion for people. It takes a servant's heart. A bold requirement. Is our evangelism program waiting to be funded? Or is our passion is waiting to be followed? What about the bold references? So prophesy in Isaiah chapter 4, she told the past in the last days of the man come interested in buying because they're not really interested. Did God say anything to Ezekiel about not being interested? He said, whether they were here or not, Ezekiel, you go. In the last of the stress about a thousand, we do this all the time in the church with the bride to a bubble before you go home. They ain't all right, Abraham. They ain't all right, don't talk to him because it ain't going to be any good. He's not interested in reconciliation, so I'm not going to go. Is that what the Bible says? Does the Bible say God only if he's interested? Putting back into God's plan is the fact that your brother may not be interested. And then what's the next step? That's a good direction. Well, back into God's plan is the fact they're not going to listen. It's not going to work. And so this idea of I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do because they're not interested, I want to suggest that maybe we excuse our inactivity by saying that, but maybe the problem of interest is not what we live. Maybe the problem of interest is us. Maybe we're not interested enough to go and help them. It's a problem. Maybe we're not as interested in God and His will as much as we claim that we are. Maybe we're not looking for a judgment and the coming of Christ as we should. Maybe the problem is with us. They're carrying the message. Preachers whose desire to stand and preach is greater than his desire to evangelize may not be what he's going to do. If our desire to stand up and preach is greater than our desire to evangelize, we may have to reevaluate. We may have to look at what God's plan is for our life. Tell him to start to go. God's story of evangelism is not about peace. But he became great. He went great. If most people would do the right thing after they tried everything else. As we became back, and then he did what God asked him to do. What would it take for us to do what God asked us to do? We're going to have to move around from church to church every couple of years, the rest of our lives, move our families, move our spouses, our children to different schools. For us to do what we're supposed to be doing anyway. Look chapter 19, verse number 10. But the Son of Man is going to seek and save that which is lost. And how did Jesus come again? To seek and save the lost. Now, how far did Jesus come? He's the greatest evangelist that ever lived. Was it because of the number of people that he baptized? Was it because he had great stats? Absolutely not. Because he traveled further than any evangelist has ever traveled in teaching and preaching. That was important to Jesus. He came from heaven to earth. Now, this is a faithful sign and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus came into the world. 1 Timothy 1:15. Jesus came, they left heaven, they went into the world as evangelists. They weren't meant to office, but Jesus left heaven. He traveled a great distance. In John 1:40-43, he made a man call Peter. And he found the Lord, he went and found his brother Peter. And Peter eventually finds power back and forth to that unbelievable teacher. A horror, my first injury of the power back teaching. But how did Peter come to be the Lord's disciple? Because of the injury. Maybe somebody will believe that Christ is going to catch more fish than you. Maybe the case is there. Think about some of the instructors and so forth here. Think about some preachers that have helped convert young men that need them to be preachers. Preacher, if you converted somebody and they go out and win more souls to Christ, are you going to pray about it? Absolutely not. You see, how do you go about pleading to the Lord? Peter, you go out and pray for the world for Christ, and you're taking a credit for it because, you ain't getting the credit for me. I brought you. I brought you to this place. I brought you here. Peter, you go out and pray for the world. That was a part of your conversion. And if you have a brother that isn't a Christian, you take this back home and tell your congregation. If you've got a brother that's not a Christian, that's what you have to go talk to him. You should. So I'm going to go. I said, I'll talk to you about it. You should be able to go to the house and say, well, I found the Lord, and I want you to find him too. You shouldn't have to go out of evangelism to the members. Now, they need to be trained to talk to their own family members. It's our responsibility to help them. Not only can I ask verse 43 and 45, but about Philip who found Jesus. About Philip did, as soon as he found Jesus, he went and found Nathaniel. And Nathaniel was his friend. So if you have a friend that's not a Christian, I shouldn't have to be talking to you about the action of evangelism. Oftentimes I look back and I think after a conversation with a friend, I think, what was
She said, "That's a gun." Want to talk about that? Whether they come up with some kind of accusations? I don't care, but I've seen Jesus. And the only thing about the Jesus that I got, Jesus treats every battle as a sin battle. I'm not church, so I don't know sin. Church says, I'm in your body. But don't you tell everybody about sin battle that can save anybody. Let me tell you something. What sin battle who can save anybody treated every battle as a sin battle. It doesn't matter what they look like, where they come from, what they smell like,
Simple as that. Is that what's the question for me?
Now, about 19 men that already asked God off, a prophet man hanging on the cross, and he asked the question around. You remember the question? What about self God up in the reality of the question that we never answered the question? Now, about start the second leg. Where is the question? Because that was announced is the answer. Stephen said was announced. That separated himself from his attitude, his speech, and his behavior. And he was announced.
That boy about the house, about the body, as much as we should, because the man is convinced his body is at the house.
God is so convinced at the house
that sent his son to die on the cross. We should be just as convinced as God is regarding the lostness of the lost. The past is where we learn the lesson. The future is where we apply the lesson. Let's not think so much about how we spend our time in the past. I've spent it all my own ways. I mean, I look over, they've talked about time management, but, you know, I'm going to have to go back home and do some changes, some rearranging. The past is where we learn the most, and the future is where we apply it. But then we're different when we go home. You remember Richard Pratt, St. Francis, asked this man to become a Christian. He went home the next day, and I was in school, they let me go to Rob Nichols' house. Spend it teaching them and helping them. himself in and strives